Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Grohman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Grohman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And I'm absolutely delighted today to be able to introduce, I feel like a brand new friend, Lynn Darman, who I had the wonderful opportunity to meet for the first time last week, but I had known about her and read about her and seen her. I thought, oh my gosh, I want to really meet this woman. Lynn is a medium and very gifted medium. And I wanted to just read something that she has on her website that is so beautiful and profound. It is our soul's pure intention to return time and time again to the true purpose of our journey until we realize and achieve what that purpose may be. So welcome to the show, Lynn.
Thank you so much for having me, Lynn. Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you. And, I just feel like this is such a timely conversation because I think that so many people are in this midst of change and they don't know how to find their space. And if they don't know how to find that space, then they certainly have a hard time finding their purpose. And so many people want to know, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? And so going to an individual like yourself who is so incredibly loving and gifted can really open doors of personal awareness about the individual so that they can let some of their fears go.
Exactly. I completely agree with you. I think we're in a climate right now, a climate of change spiritually, where people are trying to navigate. They're trying, what you said, they're trying to figure out what their purpose is, where they're going. And with so many people in this arena with different, I call them vehicles, different things that they have to offer as far as guidance. They're able to, they're guided to each person and on their journey of exactly what they need in that moment to figure that out,
so
to navigate.
Many people don't really quite understand what is a medium. What does the word medium mean? And how would you describe what it is that you do? And when, Lynn, did you learn that you had these abilities?
So a medium is exactly what it implies, being in the middle, and it is spirit communication and spirit connection. And it is being the voice box, essentially, for those of our loved ones who have passed on, who have transitioned, for their loved ones here on Earth. And as we make a connection and the intention is set forth to make that connection and for them to step forward, it is free will for them, just like it is for us. Mm-hmm. And they'll convey to us any messages of divine love, of comfort, of healing, and of guidance. And that's one of the most important things for me, is for people to understand that they are still with us. And many people just want to know that their loved ones are with us, but it goes so much deeper than that. Why are they here? What are they trying to tell us? How are they hoping to guide us forward? Mm-hmm. And for us to open to that, to be open to that, and to ask for that guidance. And it's okay to do that. Mm-hmm. And to receive.
And when did you begin to recognize that you had this ability?
I was really young, Elaine. My first experience with this, I was a little girl. I was about 5 years old. And I remember one morning waking up very clearly upset and sad because I knew I had this knowingness, I guess you want to call it, that my grandfather had passed away the night before. And my mother's father, they lived in a different country at the time. And I felt like it was my responsibility to let my mother know this and warn her and kind of ease her into that. And I did. I was upset. I was crying. I remember telling her, that my grandfather had passed. And she tried to reassure me. She said, "No, honey, you had a bad dream. He's fine. I got a letter from them yesterday." And well, back in the day, we didn't have email.
Right.
We didn't have WhatsApp, all of that. And about an hour later, she got a telegram that her father had passed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So then how did she respond that you had already been given this information and kind of eased that shock?
Right.
If you could.
Through that shock. Now, that's the part I don't quite remember. They never really addressed that. But I remember things through my childhood happening like that. And we never really talked about it openly. My brother and I used to kind of play games with it. And He would sit in one room and I would sit in the other, and he would draw a picture and I would kind of, you know, replicate the picture, things like that. But I never really paid attention to it until later in life.
Well, you actually were paying attention, but you didn't know you were studying it.
Yeah.
So was your brother also equally intuitive?
I think my brother is pretty intuitive. He went in a different direction, but yeah, I would say he's pretty intuitive.
So
not quite like this, but in a different way.
What I think is so important, Lynn, and I like to get your thoughts about this, is especially as a child where you were just so innocent and aware and honest in sharing the information that you had given. Aren't all children that close, that aware?
I say this every day. Children are, and especially under the age of five. They have five and under, and they have such an awareness, and they are so connected. They are so enlightened. And they do communicate with spirit. I speak to many children about that. Parents will bring their children to see me, and we talk very openly about who they see and how it works and what it's about. And I think once they get into school and society, you know, the world that we live in with, you know, the three-dimensional things that we have to address here with school and work and jobs and all that, and we kind of get away from it. But I'm finding that more and more children remain in that, especially now in this day and age.
So they continue to grow into that skill.
Yes, I'm seeing that more and more.
And that's one of the things that I talk with my clients about, is this is not just a select few who have this gift. It's an innately human gift.
Exactly.
But our cultural beliefs, our religious beliefs, our familiar beliefs,
conditioning,
all of that will just kind of shut it down,
it gets shut down. Yeah.
So tell me what your thoughts are about why this is so important that we begin to embrace this now.
I think it, as we're moving into this new age, we have moved into this new age, and people are expanding their consciousness, they're expanding their awareness. There's such a gift in this. There's such a gift that people can receive from this, from being aware. And I always say the more open you are, the more you will receive. And I think that it will help us get into a healthier place spiritually. And as things are happening in this world and politically and with the violence, and we need that guidance, we need that comfort, we need that from our angels, from our loved ones, from our spiritual, what I call our spiritual support team. We need it desperately.
Right.
And the more open we are, the more we will receive.
Right.
They're there. They're waiting. They're saying, we're here.
Oh,
we're
that's for sure.
We're waiting for you guys to give us a green light.
And again, my guest is Lynn Darman, and she's from Michigan. She works in Farmington Hills, Michigan. She has a beautiful website. It's called heavenswhisper.com. It's really beautiful. And I would really suggest that you consider giving her a call and making an appointment with her. And I imagine you do phone readings as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I know, and I want to talk to you a little bit more about the national recognition that you're getting also, but you just said something that I think is really important for people to have to rethink. And you said new age. And what's really important is people have an understanding that we are in an age. We have had different ages. We've had the golden age. We've had the Bronze Age, we've had the Dark Ages. So, you know, we use kind of the term New Age kind of flippantly as if it is something woo-woo.
Right.
But it really
but
it's
energetic. It's energy.
It is. And we're coming in back into this golden age. So we're at the beginning of a new era, which really we need to look at in a different way, and instead of just saying, oh, that's New Age, without really understanding what that term means. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
So absolutely. As I was reading on your website, Lynn, I was just so moved by what kind of pushed you into this arena very clearly, which was had to do with the health of your child.
Right.
Would you share that story, please?
Yes, yes. So my daughter, Alexandra, when I was pregnant with my daughter, she was she's my second child. And so it's not like I was unfamiliar with pregnancy or having children. But I had in my third trimester, I started having a kind of a darker feeling, you know, a foreboding foreboding, and that something was going to go wrong. And I went to see my OB, my obstetrician, and he checked me out and he goes, Lynn, everything is okay. And I just had this nagging feeling of something was wrong, but I let it go. I trusted, and the rest of the pregnancy went really well, and the delivery went very well. She was born healthy, but about a week into her life, I started having this nagging feeling again that something was going to happen. So it was more of a premonition. So premonition being a pre-knowing, precognizance.
Yes.
And I remember one morning, I was holding her. It was 5 in the morning, and I was feeding her. And my bed was facing a mirror. And as I was holding her, there was a very small light behind me from the hallway. I didn't want to wake my husband at the time. And I looked, I was just kind of gazing into the mirror, and I saw myself in the mirror holding her, but she had a white sheet over her.
Oh, my.
And that completely freaked me out. So I got up, and I woke my husband. I said, we have to take her to the hospital. And he listened at the time. He did listen, and we took her into the emergency room. And what do you say to people? You know, I had a feeling. I saw something. I just said, I'm concerned about my daughter's health. Can you check her out? They checked her out. Everything was fine. Her blood work, everything. They kept her even, you know, a day or two just to make sure, because I was completely frantic. A couple of days later, they discharged her. And I remember that I just couldn't shake that feeling still. So a couple of days went by, and a few days later, I went back. I went to a different emergency room. And again, we went through the ER, and they checked her out. And I kept saying, there's something wrong with my daughter. There's something wrong with her. And again, blood work. And they looked at me, and they said, she's fine, but we'll keep her 24 hours for observation. And the next day, they came in to discharge her, and I refused to sign the discharge papers. And I said, she's going to be sick, and there's something wrong with her now, and if we discharge her, I'm going to lose her. She needs to be in the hospital. So at this time, they suggested that perhaps I was suffering from a postpartum psychosis, and they called a psychiatrist.
Oh, my gosh.
So I agreed. I said, because I figured it would buy me more time in the hospital.
Yes, yes.
I said, that's fine. And I used to work in psychiatry also. So having that background and working with women in that position, I understood where they were coming from as well. But in the interim, another doctor came in, and infectious disease specialist, pediatric, and he looked at her and he looked at me. He said, I'm not even going to look at your daughter. He goes, I really want to hear what you have to say. He goes, you tell me what you think is wrong with your daughter. And in that moment, I looked at my daughter, who was about 14 days old at this point. And she looked at me, and I just said, she just told me. And he said, she did? And I said, yeah, it's in her abdomen. There's something going on in her abdomen. And we need to do, I told him, the test that I felt she needed. And we took her down right away for a CAT scan. And I would say within an hour of that experience, I would say she was in surgery within an hour and a half.
Oh my gosh. And what did they discover was wrong?
She had a peritonitis.
Oh my.
A secondary peritonitis. They did not know what had caused it. They couldn't tell on film, but they took her into surgery. They were hoping it was an appendix ruptured, but it wasn't. It was a portion of her colon that had to be removed.
Oh my goodness. And, at 14 days old.
At 14 days old.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And in that moment, a nurse representative did come out and speak to me, and she said, your daughter is very sick, and we don't know that she's going to pull through the surgery. And I said, no. I said, now I know that she will. I know that she will. I was very confident. And today she's healthy. She's a healthy, thriving 26-year-old living in New York.
And what's great. Thank you for sharing that story, because obviously as a mother, there is this imperative that you feel when it is your child.
Oh, it's mother's intuition is amazing.
Yes.
I tell people that all the time. If you think there's something, you know, wrong with your child,
Don't deny
it.
That's right. But what's so beautiful is the opportunity that you gave to those medical staff, so that, you know, it's easy to say, oh yeah, you're just postpartum depression, or yeah, you're just a little reactive or whatever. But you gave them pause to think, gosh, what is really happening? How is it this mother knew exactly what was wrong?
Yeah. A couple of the doctors, she had quite a team of physicians after that. There were so many things that went on. It wasn't quite that simple. She had a couple of other surgeries after that. But it was interesting because a couple of her medical team did come to me and say, well, thank you, and I'm sorry. And all that. And I didn't, it's not like I expected an apology. I understood again where they were coming from,
sure,
their perspective. But I think again, as we're talking about this day and age and this climate, it's so important for these two disciplines to come together.
Absolutely.
It's so important for us to start to bridge,
mm-hmm,
you know, to create that bridge between the physical and the metaphysical. It's very,
because
important,
they're inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is so interesting, Lynn, and I had the pleasure of working for about 15 years with two medical schools. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that these young students were being trained into dismissing their senses. And then, of course, there would be many people that would come to me and say, can I tell you what happened to me? You know, these things that they witnessed, that they saw.
Right.
And if we understood that, we would have so much more health, mm-hmm, rather than illness management.
I agree. And what was so interesting about this particular doctor that actually listened, is I found out 25 years later when I spoke to him again. He told me, he was from another country, and he said that he remembered that when he was in medical school and he was a student, his mother said to him, you're going to be a doctor. That's wonderful. Knowledge is important. It's fabulous. But she said, I'll tell you what. She said, if you ever have a mother that comes to you with anything regarding a child, because he was going into pediatrics, mm-hmm, she said, you listen to that mother. And he said to me at that time, in that moment, he heard his mother's voice saying that to him. And I
bet you he was never the same doctor again.
Right.
So,
right.
Lynn, what I find so important, and I had the incredible privilege of having a reading with you last week, which was so, I still think about it. I was laying in bed last night thinking about it and, you know, just grateful to have you on the show today. Tell me what you think is, if there is an imperative that spirit is trying to help us understand about our time now, mm-hmm, on this planet, what might that be?
I think everything that we're sort of in right now that we talk about every day, about being mindful, about being in the present, about living, you know, for in the moment and enjoying each and every moment that we have. You know, I think we get so caught up in the little day-to-day things that 5-10 years from now are not going to mean anything to us, but to really relax into our lives, mm-hmm, and to love. I know it's cliche, you know, love is eternal, love never dies, but it's true. It's an energy that never dies.
That's right.
And to connect to that more. And as we do, we elevate our frequencies here on this planet and hopefully collectively help to elevate the rest.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really honored to have my guest today is Lynn Darman, and she is a internationally known, I would say, medium who has been on many different news stations. You've been on ABC, I believe, and mm-hmm, you were just recently telling me that you were contributing to the Dr. Oz show,
right,
and various interviews. So I find it very heartwarming that people in the media are, you know, as they can sensationalize it, but now I think that there's really a desire to want to understand this part of human ability.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you find that people are asking you about in order to, why do they come to you primarily? Are they trying to find peace within themselves? Are they just looking for answers from their deceased loved ones? What do you think is the impetus of why many people are coming to you?
Well, primarily it is spirit connection. Primarily it is when somebody comes to see me, it is to connect to their loved ones on the other side, to receive that validation. But I think through the reading, what they don't quite expect is really how deep it can go, mm-hmm, you know, and the guidance that they will receive from,
yes,
that. And, what their loved ones want to share with them. It's not just who they were to them in life. During a session, yes, it will be, you know, who were they to you in life? How long ago did they pass? How did they cross over? What was the issue?
Mm-hmm.
Who were they with on the other side? Who received them? What did they enjoy in life that they continue to enjoy? But then beyond that, there's so much more. It's validation that they continue to watch over them. It's validation they continue to watch over their children. What are the issues? What are the challenges they're going through right now in life? How can they best help them resolve that? Mm. How can they help them to navigate those issues? Why are the challenges there? What are they supposed to serve them so that they can be propelled forward right. in life? So we kind of get down and, you know, a little bit deeper than all of that.
And I think that it's so important. Thank you for sharing that, because what I think is so important is we have been so conditioned to, number one, be afraid of death.
Mm-hmm.
And then often because of that, we're afraid to live. And then we always think unrealistically that there is this punitive relationship that, you know, oh my gosh, when we die, because of religion, there's going to be heaven or hell, there's going to be a judgment and all those things. And what I've come to understand from my own experiences of being a healer and an intuitive is just love.
Mm-hmm.
And that we are here to recognize that we are spirit in a physical body so that we can take action.
Yeah, for just a few minutes, you know, mm-hmm. in the grand scheme of things, it's just for a short time,
mm-hmm.
for a short time.
So many people ask, and I'm sure that you're asked this question too, how does information come to you? When you're doing a reading with someone, mm-hmm. how do you receive it?
Okay, so the way I receive information is it is whatever I see, hear, or feel. So it is being clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient. At the same time, sometimes I'll smell something. So it's using our senses, all of our senses, but hyper senses, you know, they're elevated, they're heightened.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens for me it's simultaneous. It's while I hear something, I'll be shown something. While I'm shown something, they'll instill a feeling within me or step into my energy, so to speak, into my energy field, where I'll feel an emotion and, you know, be able to connect to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our senses, but heightened.
And you know, people when they would come to you, they would probably wonder, oh my gosh, how does she do this? But people forget they're multisensory beings also.
Exactly.
They could be having a conversation and thinking about something else. Mm-hmm. They could be enjoying their food and enjoying the aromas. They're already multisensory people. But since you have accustomed to using this and you trust it, then that sensitivity gets higher and higher and higher so that you can differentiate.
Right.
Things that maybe most people just would dismiss because they don't comprehend it.
Exactly. And that's part of the other part of what I do during reading is I try to tell people, I try to teach people. And it's not me just teaching, but it's also, I learn from my clients as well.
Yes.
I learn a great deal from them, from spirit, you know, the entire experience. But I always tell them, you know, one of the things I try to teach them rather is to trust themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, and trust their own intuitive thoughts. And to act on it. If you walk into a room, you're at a party, you walk into a room and something doesn't feel right, it's probably because it's not, and you leave, you know, and to trust that. So to connect to their higher self. And it's, you know, is it a double-edged sword? Sometimes people say, why would you do that? Then they're not going to come to you, because I want people to feel empowered as well.
Absolutely.
I want them to know that they have their own intuition and their own higher guidance.
There's never going to be an end to people that want answers, and there's never going to be an end to people that find their
mm-hmm,
answers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we have to worry about running out of people that are interested in what is their life about.
Right.
That's
right.
What's so important.
And how many times we hear people say, and I, for me too, I do the same thing. I should have, I knew it. I thought so, and I didn't act on it, and I should have because, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just that trust. That
yes.
trust within
yes.
ourselves.
So Lynn, if someone wanted to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to reach you?
So either through my website, which is lynndarmone.com, or heavenswhisper.net, which is when you mentioned Elaine, or my telephone number is 248-860-1121.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take a real quick break here in just a minute. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation. My guest is Lynn Darmone. And did I pronounce it incorrectly?
Darmone. Yeah,
okay.
Either one.
And,
I answered it either
okay,
one.
Okay, great. I want to make sure I'm
yeah.
doing it correctly.
Thank you.
And we're going to continue our talk about this beautiful, magical, important world of what is beyond mm-hmm. our obvious understanding, so that we can understand how to use this guidance to make our lives better. Please stay with us. This is Elaine Grohman on Going Beyond Medicine. We'll be right back with my guest, Lynn Darmone. Stay with us.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Nonstop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul, calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Begin by finding a comfortable, relaxed position. Let out whatever stress is in your body. It could be from the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk four sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library, or when you thought chaperoning the school dance meant actually dancing in the school dance. Whatever it is, let it go. The fire you started with that experimental dinner, let it go. The time you drove away from the gas pump with the gas pump, let it go. Three, very relaxed. Two, there you go. One.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Now back to Elaine Groman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the show. This is Elaine Groman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And I'm continuing my conversation with my wonderful guest, Lynn Darmon, who is a psychic medium and from Michigan. And if you go to her website, Lynn Darmon, which is LynnDarmon.com, you'll be able to read about her, see her, and know how you can get in touch with her if you wanted to make an appointment for either a phone reading or an in-person reading. It is something that will be a treasure to your heart. I can guarantee you that. So, Lynn, if you would please share with us, there was on your website, there's an amazing testimonial about a woman who had you tried to reach out to.
Right.
On, about her brother who had died.
Yeah.
So could you share that with us, please?
Sure. Yeah. So thank you for that. Yeah. So on occasion, I always tell people it's not just the living that try to contact us, you know, mediums who, in order to reach their loved ones on the other side, it's very often their loved ones who come forward to reach their living here, to their living relatives here, their loved ones here. And I had an experience a couple years ago where, and this usually happens to me in the early morning hours as I'm waking up. And I had an experience a couple years ago where a young man came forward and announced his arrival, you know, let me know he was present. And we had a conversation like we're having a conversation. I asked him his name and he told me his name was Rusty. And I said, well, how did you die? How did you leave here, this earth? And he said, I'll show you. And he literally took me through it in the first person.
Oh,
so
my.
As I'm living through this moment, I am walking through a construction site and I fell into a hole. And I knew a couple of things in that moment. I knew that, number one, I wasn't going to survive. And number two, that I had to reach out to my family to let them know that I was okay and thank them because they had been doing a lot of work on my behalf, going back and forth to Washington.
Since his passing.
And when I came out of that, there was no fear involved at all. And I came out of that and I said, what can I do for you? And he said, you have to reach out to my sister and I'll show you how. And he told me exactly how to get on the computer, find his sister, find her phone number. And I did. She lived in Vegas. And
so this was unsolicited on the sister's part.
Completely unsolicited.
Wow.
And so I started calling her. And what do you say on a voicemail? You know, hi, my name is Lynn. I'm from the Detroit area. This is about your brother. I just gave my name and number. I said, please call me. There's something I need to speak to you about.
So you didn't indicate what it was.
No.
So to her, it could have been a sales call.
Right. Exactly. And that's what she thought it was, actually, because this went on for a few weeks and she never returned my call. And there were moments where I said, I'm not doing this. She's going to call the police on stalking her, you know, and he would not let me give up. Every time I felt like I needed to let go of it, he kept pushing me for, you have to, you've got to do this for me. And finally, the last time I called her was a message that I left. And I said, this is Lynn Darmon. I said, I know you know who this is because you get calls from me every day. Please call me back. This is about your brother, Rusty.
Oh,
and within
I just got shivers.
Yeah. And within an hour, I got a call back. And she said, what is it about Rusty? And I told her, and she confirmed everything. And then further details came through while we were on the phone. And they had just finished, after 5 or 6 years, they had just finished going back and forth, like I said, trying to change the laws, trying to change the work environment.
So just so that the people know that what happened was he had fallen, but they were trying to blame his death on him.
Exactly, right.
Rather than that it was not a safe environment and that there was a problem that they knew that they should address but didn't address, and it resulted in his death.
Exactly. And he wanted to make that very, very clear that it was not his fault, that he was not aware that the hole was there. And
my gosh.
And she was really grateful. So, yeah, so sometimes it goes the other way around. They'll contact me to reach their loved ones here. And that does happen on occasion.
And so that I'm sure the listening audience is going, how in the world did Rusty hone in on Lynn?
Right.
He died in Las Vegas. She's in Michigan. How in the heck was that signal picked up?
Right.
And
right.
How would you explain that? Was that your signal was so obvious to him in the spirit world?
I think it's just what we tap into in the moment.
I think
people who, you know, who do this work, I think that at times, and especially when we're in a quasi state of between sleep and wakefulness, the day hasn't taken
shape yet.
We're already there. Exactly, Elaine, exactly. We're like straddling two worlds at once. And just kind of tapping into that in that moment, I think timing is everything.
Yes.
So, yeah, and he was pretty strong. He was pretty loud.
So you said during the break that there was another more recent incident.
Right.
Could you share that as well, please?
Yes, definitely. This was local, actually. And it was the same thing where I was waking up in the morning and a young woman came forward, a young girl, actually. And all she did, she said one thing to me. She showed me a picture of a woman's shoulder. And she said she has a tattoo of stars behind her left shoulder. And she showed me a woman's shoulder with a tattoo of little blue, blue stars. That was it. And I said, okay. You know, I got up. I wrote it down. Because if I don't write it down in that moment, it's going to leave
gone.
Me. And I thought, just show me. I'll trust guidance. And as I was getting through the day, I was going through the day and clients were coming in and out. And each client that came in the door, I knew was not that person. I didn't even have to ask, you just know. And somehow in the middle of the day, I had a break. I had a 2-hour break. And I thought, I think I'm going to go get a manicure, which I never do in the middle of a work day. But I went and I walked into the salon and the salon was full. There were women getting manicures. There were women getting pedicures. And I looked at one woman. I locked energies with one woman in particular. And I said, it's her. I know it is. So now the question is, how do I approach her? And I waited. I did get a manicure, and I waited until she was finished, and I followed her out. And as we were exiting, I just...
So she was a customer?
A customer. She was getting a pedicure. And I looked at her and I said, excuse me. I said, I have a question. And she said, sure. And I introduced myself. I told her what I did. And I said, do you connect to having a tattoo behind your left shoulder of stars? And she just stared at me for the longest time. And for a split second, I thought, oh my God, what am I doing? And she said, she looked at me, she goes, what did you say? And I said, do you connect to having a tattoo of stars behind your left shoulder? And she looked at me and very slowly, she was wearing a long sleeve shirt. Very slowly, she turned around and she pulled the shirt over her left shoulder and there were the tattoo. The tattoo. And then she looked at me, she said, what else did she say? Mm. And I said, you know, we talked. And then again, more information came forward when she passed. It was her daughter. Oh. And she was 14, young girl. And when she passed, and I said, she's connecting to the month of April as being an anniversary, showing me 6 years in April. And she said she had passed 6 years ago in April. And something about a twin brother and that he had just graduated and she walked across the stage with him to receive what she called their diploma and another tattoo that she connected to. So there were a couple of things like that. And it was interesting because as we were saying goodbye and as we were parting ways, it was a pretty large parking lot, many, many cars in the parking lot. We ended up being parked right next to each other.
No accidents, right?
Right next to each other. So mm-hmm. I said, yeah, she was gonna make sure we connected.
That's so beautiful because, you know, people need to understand when they have this drawing mm-hmm. to go somewhere, like you said, even the middle of the day where it would not be customary for you to go and get your nails done. It was like, okay, there's a reason Spirit is giving you this time frame.
Right.
Just the exact amount of time that you would need to get back to where you need to go to give the message mm-hmm. to hone in on who is the person this might be for.
Yes.
And then to just imagine how much comfort that would bring to an individual.
Right.
That especially from someone out of the blue, mm-hmm. with blue stars, how would you know this?
Right.
And it's interesting because as I was teaching over the weekend, I was just helping people to understand our opportunity is to bring comfort. Mm-hmm. And when we bring comfort, then all of that grief, all of that anger, all of those resentments can just melt away. And then love and joy and peace can come forward, which is what we're meant to be.
Exactly. Yes, I agree. And it is, it does bring a measure of healing. There are so many people that don't have those last words or have not resolved an issue with their loved ones. Mm-hmm. And so they hold that feeling of regret or sadness or, you know, the pain from that moment. So when their loved one steps forward and they want to acknowledge the way they were in life, or they want to acknowledge an argument just before they passed, you know, and then they didn't have the opportunity to apologize to one another to resolve it. And that is their moment to have that resolution and to say, you know what, in the scheme of things, it wasn't that big a deal. It was okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's always two of us.
Yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. the individual who has died may say, well, I want to resolve this. But sometimes then that other individual is carrying that lack of resolution forward, and it's distorting everything that they
think
about.
Everything else, exactly.
Everything.
Right, exactly. They carry it with them for years. Mm-hmm. And it does. It affects their relationships with their loved ones here, with their children, the hurt or anger or regret that they carry. You know, and their loved ones on the other side want them to do is let it, you know, it's okay. Let it go.
It's
live.
A choice to let
go
it go.
Go forth and live.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes. And again, my guest is Lynn Darmon, and she has a beautiful website. If you go to her website, and her name is spelled LynnDarmon.com, and she's in Farmington Hills, Michigan. But please feel free to, and your phone number again, please, Lynn?
Yeah, 248-860-1121.
Okay, thank you. So as people are receiving information, I imagine that you're able to see their energy as well, just mm-hmm. kind of brighten, lift. Mm-hmm. And have you had feedback from people how then this has changed their perception of their own life and what it means to be alive? once they've had this information from you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's like I said earlier, it helps them to expand their consciousness, you know, around this and their awareness, not just for mediumship, for psychic things, but their own lives, for their own guidance, mm-hmm. Seeing possibilities that are available to them, seeing that there are alternative plans. You know, our life might be going in a particular direction. We have that fear of where we're headed, but it doesn't have to be that way. We are empowered to make the changes that we need to make to put us in a different direction.
Mm, yes.
We have the ability to do that, to intervene and shift things up a little bit.
You know, Lynn, you were gracious enough to mention that you were contacted by the Dr. Oz show. Can you tell us what your portion of that was and what they wanted you to bring forward, which I think is lovely?
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. So Dr. Oz, several months ago, had a show, an episode on Chicken Soup for the Soul book, which I had contributed to in that particular volume. And it was the unexplained, the unexplainable. And so they had several stories honoring that, you know, the things that we cannot explain in the physical world. And that's what it was about. And they had me talk about, you know, my daughter's story. And as a matter of fact, Alexandra, my daughter, was in the audience, and they spoke to her for a moment. And so it was interesting. So like I said, it's really wonderful to see somebody like a personality like Dr. Oz, you know, somebody in the medical field, in the physical, you know, field, arena and medicine, bring this forward.
Yes.
That there are many things that cannot be really explained in words, but it's there and it needs to be acknowledged. It needs to be honored and respected.
Yes. And I often say to people, it's like, can you explain what the air does for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can say, I breathe. That's a simplified version.
Right.
But what does it do when it gets into your cells?
Right.
What is it providing? What information is it providing?
Mm-hmm.
There is some things that are invisible, but without them,
right,
we have no life.
Exactly.
And so it is so much a part of, without the relationships and the love that we mm-hmm. have had and the experiences we've had in relationships, what is the value of life? And that's mm-hmm. what we need to understand, is this incredible value of love.
Mm-hmm.
That it is not an emotion. It's a power.
It is. It is. It's a power that does not die. It's an energy that does not die. We're just, if we don't acknowledge this, we don't embrace it, we're just scratching. It's so superficial. Otherwise, we're just barely scratching beneath the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much more. There's so much more out there.
So when you are in contact with spirit, the spirit realm, and I know that you are contacting individuals who lived in a particular life with the individual you're with. But tell us about the angels and others that might be considered like ascended masters, or even people from different star systems, if that's what you interact with. Could you share why you think that they're so prevalent now? They're always have been with humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us, in your words, what they're trying to help us understand.
Well, I always, I do tell people that, you know, we think as we're taking a walk down the street, you know, we think we're alone as we're contemplating our lives, contemplating which way we're heading. You know, picture 20 people behind you going, go, Elaine, go, go. You can do this. You can do this. And it is our spiritual support team. We have our angels and our guardian angels, our spirit guides, our ascended masters, our loved ones who continue to provide guidance for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had experiences myself where I've seen, you know, I saw an entity, what I call a gray, and he came forward and a beautiful crystal blue eyes with a message about our world. For me, and this happened at the turn of, you know, from 2012 going into 2013.
Can you share that message?
Yeah, sure.
I think
it was in a meditation, and this being came forward, and it was very much like what I experienced with Rusty, for example. And he came forward, and I looked at him. The feeling of love that was emanating from this particular being was simply incredible. And he shared a name, was Eros, E-R-O-S. He spelled it out for me, which is associated in mythology with the god of love. And he just shared that they had come back. I said, why are you here? And he said, we had to come back to help salvage what is going on in this world. We left this planet many, many years ago to humans, and we're back to help. Mm-hmm. And that was about it. It was brief. It was a brief encounter. It was a brief episode, but I journaled about it because I never wanted to forget it. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to forget it. So again, there's yet that whole other piece, you know, we're talking about other worlds and other star systems and other beings.
Which are obvious. All we have to do mm-hmm. is stand under a night sky and realize,
right. and take
how
a look.
Is it possible? We cannot right. be alone.
Right.
It's unfathomable. Yeah. And it's the height of arrogance mm-hmm. to think that we are.
I agree.
But I'm curious I would imagine that once this loving being came to you, it was like an invitation to have ongoing conversations.
Yeah.
Once that awareness is there, that heartfelt connection, that spirit connection.
Right.
So have you ever had any further contact?
Yeah, there were many dreams following that. Yeah, there were many dreams following that. There were shared experiences with my children, as a matter of fact. Mm. It's something that I am aware of and keeping track of and journaling about.
So I would find that very interesting because I find that I go out and speak to Mother Life, mm-hmm. to the living trees. What are we doing to you? Please accept our apology. Accept my apology as a member of this human species.
Right.
And how do we open these doors of conversation? Because we really need to understand a tree is a species, just like a human is a species. Mm-hmm. But we have this hierarchy in our mind that mm-hmm. is so distorted. And I was sharing with somebody the other day, and I would love your thought about this, is, you know, we're really, as humans, if we look at what our species has kind of devolved mm-hmm. into, and there are many Earths in the birthing process out in the cosmos. I mean, if you think of millions and millions of years ago, there was the trees were coming so that there would be enough water or enough oxygen, that all of these things had to be here before humanity could be here. I mean, mm-hmm. the amount of time is unfathomable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all here for us.
Right.
To have this experience.
Beautiful gift. Yeah.
It is. And there must be millions of Earths being birthed out there.
That's a very interesting thought.
And waiting for an atmosphere, for the conditions to be right.
To be just right.
And I keep having this notion that we have an opportunity to either be a contributing factor, as then a species contributing to that life, or would creation say, no, you're kind of cancerous. Mm-hmm. We're going to let you not be there and let that have a better opportunity for thriving and to go beyond this very low energy of war and fighting and anger that is never going to accomplish mm-hmm. anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can rise above that, we haven't any idea what we're capable of.
Yeah, that's really an interesting thought. It is. And I think that's why there are so many teachers right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we say, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I think there are so many teachers right now in this moment.
I'm one. And I think that we need to always encourage and work mm-hmm. collaboratively.
Yeah.
So important.
And, you know, I remember somebody saying to me, well, you know, what's the use of it's something like, what's the use of the work that you do if nobody listens? You know, nobody is going to pay attention. I always say, you know what? One soul at a time.
Yes.
One soul at a time. But then collectively, many souls at a time.
That's right.
So
that collective human consciousness, that vibration that we can raise, even if there's some that are just consumed with their sorrow or consumed with their rage, mm-hmm. if there's a higher number that isn't, the laws of resonance are immutable laws.
Yeah.
So that is going to raise them along with us.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that when we go back to when we were talking about the children,
mm-hmm.
you know, and these enlightened children that are coming in right now and what they're going to offer this world, it will be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we're paving the way for these generations to come and hopefully live long enough to see the
So what do you think, as we were talking earlier before we began the show, about this change of an age from the end of the Mayan calendar, which was December 21st, 2012.
Right.
In my understanding, it was the end of the Piscean age, and now we're moving into this age of Aquarius, which is really this beautiful time of balance. Think about water. Water always finds balance. It will settle, and it's cleansing, and it's healing, and it's nourishing, and it's quenching the thirst that we have as a species. So what do you think is on the upward trajectory?
It's interesting because those are very similar to the words I used recently with someone. I said, people are really, right now, people are hungry. They're hungry for guidance. They're hungry for reassurance. They're hungry for, you know, people to say to them, hold their hand and say, you know what, it's going to be okay. As we've shifted into this particular age over the last few years, there's been a lot of chaos. There's been an upheaval. Almost, you know, like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, we don't know where we're going to land.
Yes.
So people are needing this right now. They're needing this guidance. And I feel like, I personally feel like things have settled down quite a bit from the last couple of years, but we're not quite there.
Well, and I think that what we have to recognize is, yes, we see a lot of chaos, but we have to see it. If you're aware of something, you cannot say, I didn't know.
Right.
You know, so when you know better, you should do better.
Right.
So we have to, it's almost like the genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah.
Okay. And now you say, okay, now these gifts are available to us. We see what is happening here. We see what is not working here. We see this. And that's why I think there's so much divine guidance. And those that have lived in life that are now just in the pure intellect realm, they're saying, come on, this is what we need to do. And this is maybe what I did when I was living. Don't make that same mistake.
Right.
You know, they're always encouraging, not discouraging. That's what I find to be true. They're never punitive, and we think they're going to be punitive. I always find that when I'm doing readings with someone, if someone maybe wasn't the nicest person in their life, they're always so remorseful. They're like, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing.
Right. And that's why I always say they do. They step forward and they want to acknowledge or apologize in their own way to say, look, this is how I was. This is what happened. I see this now, and I want to honor that. I want to honor you by acknowledging.
Yes.
I want to show you that respect, and hopefully that will help, you know, the evolution not only of their soul, but their loved ones here.
That's right, because we can only do physical things when we're in a physical body.
Right.
So if we, instead of waiting until we've gone to the other side, until our life has ended here, and we're seeing that fully, wouldn't it be better to see it now, to release those things, to make amends, to do what we can to better the planet and better ourselves, always starting with ourselves?
Yes, always.
It has to start
100%.
With
it starts from within. And outward.
So again, I want to just make sure that everyone knows who my wonderful guest is, Lynn Darmon, and her wonderful website is www.lynndarmon.com. And if you would again say your phone number that people could reach you, please.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you. It's 248-860-1121.
And what might someone expect? I mean, can they just come in with no expectations, or do you want people to come in with questions, or you just want to just have it be free flowing?
Whichever way, I always tell people, don't come in, you know, with, like you said, with expectations. You're not going to get what you want in a reading.
Yes.
You're going to get what you need.
That's right.
And it goes, it's interesting because even for myself, sometimes I don't know which direction it's going to go into, or something completely unexpected happens. And it's always so, I don't have any expectations either.
Well, I would love to stay in touch with you, because I would love to, you know, have this ongoing relationship and conversation, because there's so much that, you know, that we need to learn to bring together.
I agree.
For everyone.
It is. It's a learning experience every single day. Learning and teaching. As we give, we receive. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful. And please take a look at her website. There's news that she's been on, you know, she's had a lot of media coverage. So I'm very grateful for that. I hope that continues so that more and more people know who you are. And most importantly, so that this is normalized.
Exactly.
And know that in every culture, every person, but mm-hmm. not just women, but men also, as you were saying, yeah. yourself with your brother being very mm-hmm. gifted. And when we come into our full humanity and we are aware of all of the abilities of our senses, mm-hmm. then we stop creating problems.
Right. Right.
And we start finding solutions.
We'll let go of
those blocks. Yeah. yeah. Imagine when we recognize all the problems that we see are created by a human's neglect mm-hmm. or willful action. Mm-hmm. And what if we opened our hearts and our minds and our senses and never did that again? Right. We have right. no idea. Literally, the sky is the limit.
The sky is the limit.
Exactly. And the stars are the limit. Yeah. So I want to thank you so much for being
thank
a part of the
you,
show today,
Elaine.
Lynn.
Thank you for having
what
me.
What a wonderful guest. And
this
I'm
was
really an honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That goes both ways.
Okay,
thank you so much.
So this is Elaine Groman on Going Beyond Medicine. If you happen to miss this show, always know that every one of the shows are saved as a podcast. You can listen to it at your leisure at any time, any place on this planet, no matter where you are. Even in the airplanes. You don't even have to be on the ground. So thank you so much to Elaine Groman for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. Make every moment count. It is your life after all.